you do not live up to the expectation or the desire that you have set forth. It's challenging for me, especially in the realm of giving God all of my heart. While I make the promise, while I have this as an objective, I find myself coming short from time to time. That disturbs me, that I'm not able to stay constant and to stay where I need to be. What does this all of your heart really look like? I took upon myself to go into the scripture, see if I can bring forth a picture or some type of illustration of what all of our heart is really encompassing. And when I searched, I came upon the life of a man called Jacob. And in our text, I believe that this is what Jacob is saying to God. In verse 20 of verse number 28, Jacob vowed a vow saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, I will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." This is Jacob's way of saying to God, "I will serve you with all of my heart." What I want to do is look at this great man, this great patriarch. For he is at an intersection of life. When he makes this statement, he is at a crossroads where he must decide whether he will travel the road that will carry him down the narrow pathway of spirituality, or it will carry him the broad way of carnality. He has to make a choice. He has to decide, which will I pursue? I believe that our text says to us that he made the choice to follow the narrow pathway to spirituality. But I want to pull back the curtain, and I want to show you how he got there, and why he is making this vow, and why you and I should make the same vow today, why you and I should pursue. I have come to the conclusion that when I die, my heart will not be totally full of total love and response to God. I have accepted that fact, that I'll never reach the point where I am completely filled with everything that God has commanded. But I am sure, hear me well, that if I choose the right pathway, and if I go the right way, that I will end up victoriously, in spite of the fact that my heart is not truly, totally committed as I have vowed it to be. And I'm going to prove that, and I want to illustrate that with the life of Jacob. I want to look at Jacob just briefly from four vantage points. While he is here, at this point, what's behind him? Number two, I want to look at him in reference to what is before him. Number three, what is with him? And then number four, what is within him? What is behind him? Why is Jacob here at this point, at this intersection of life, having to make a choice between traveling the narrow spiritual pathway or the broad way of carnality? What brought him here? It is his past. He is a man who is a product of a family. And it is a family that has been called and chosen by God. 16 chapters, God is illustrating how he chose a man by the name of Abraham. And Abraham had a son by the name of Isaac. And now Jacob is the grandson of Abraham and the son of Isaac. So this is a family that is a called family, a chosen family. But in the midst of this, I want you to see that what he is leaving behind is a very dysfunctional family. He has a father that's not perfect. He has a mother by the name of Rebecca that's not perfect. She's an eavesdropper. She's always nosy, got a nose in everything. Now, you have to read this text to find out what I'm really talking about, but seemed as though every time something came up, she always was right there, hearing and intercepting what was being said. So she was, you might say that she was just really on top of her game, but I'm saying that there was dysfunction, an imperfect father, an imperfect mother. He had a twin brother by the name of Esau who was imperfect. Jacob's name is a name which means a supplanter, a trickster. He is one who has tricked his brother out of his birthright and then out of his blessing. What is behind him? A dysfunctional family, one that is filled with lies, cheating, collusion. I thought you would recognize that word. Bribery, hypocrisy. Here is a man who, if he was looking for perfection, if he was looking for a total commitment, is not in his past. Is he going to allow the hypocrisy? Is he going to allow the deceit and all of the inconsistency of his past cause him to choose a direction that further takes him away from the commitment to God? May I say to you that he is at a crossroad. Am I going to pursue this spiritual path, or am I going to allow the imperfections of my background keep me from pursuing after the God of our fathers? May I just stop and say, all of us are part of dysfunction. There is none of us who are part of anything that's perfect. I grew up in a home, my father, a minister of the gospel, but he was not perfect. My mother, not perfect. My brothers and my sisters, not perfect. There is so much blame to be found all over the Gibbs household, but I am convinced that the God that we serve says that all things work together for good to them who love God and who are called according to His purpose. So even in the midst of a dysfunctional background, when you come to the crossroad where you have to make a choice, am I going to follow God or not? May I say to you, don't ever run from your past. Your past is going to catch up with you. You're going to have to just deal with your past. Don't let your brother, I know that his brother was out to kill him, and that's why he was running. But you can't run from your past. You got to live with it and understand that even in the midst of all of the ebb and flow of my background, God is still, though it may be checkered, God is still able to work it out. Yes, number two, what is before him? Here he is, running from his brother Esau. He's been told to go back to Paddan Aram and to choose a wife. 500 miles ahead of him. 500 miles he is to travel. Here is a man who says that I know what I'm leaving, but I surely don't know what I am going to receive. I really don't know what is ahead of me. I stop by to tell all of us, life is uncertain. Tomorrow is uncertain. You're going to come to a point in your life where you're going to have to make a decision about God, and you're going to have to ask yourself, God, what is before me? And God will not always answer what all of the details and all of the circumstances are, but you have to understand that your future is an uncertain future. The Bible said, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. You and I have no wisdom to orchestrate or direct or to prearrange our future. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I can come to a point where I say, oh, I ought to go this way. I ought to go that way. I ought to choose this person. I ought to choose that person. But I'm telling you, it's uncertain. I got to be truthful. When I chose Sister Gibbs, I wasn't sure that we were going to make it 47 years. It was uncertain at that point. Well, all I'm simply saying, what about children? It was uncertain. What about vocation? Uncertain. What about health? Uncertain. No, the Bible is right. In James 4 and verse number 13, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go in such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, here it is, you know not what shall be on the morrow. Yes, what is your life? Even a vapor that appeared for a little while and then it vanishes away. For what ye ought to say, if the Lord will, ye shall live and do this or that. All I'm trying to say to you is that you are at a point in your life where if you think you have control of your future, you don't. If you think you know what's going to happen on tomorrow, you don't. We just had a memorial service for a young man, member of the Dallas West Church of Christ by the name of Botham John. You all have probably heard of it on the news, how that the police officer mistakenly took his apartment for hers, and then this young man at 26 lost his life. All I'm simply saying is that when he had no ideas, all I'm saying, of what the future held. His parents from St. Lucia had no idea that they would be here bearing their son who had such a bright future. What are you saying, Brother Gibbs? All I'm simply saying is that you sit here so proudly. You sit here sometimes even arrogantly, as though your education and your money and your position has gotten you somewhere, and that you got it all together. I'm trying to tell you, you just don't know. I mean, you just don't know from one day to the next how are you going to end up? So Jacob is at this point where he's running from his past, running for his life, going to a place 500 miles away, but there's so much uncertainty there. All I'm simply saying is that sometimes uncertainty can bring a whole lot of ambiguity and a lot of stress. But may I hasten on, because I know my time is going to get away from me. Not only do I look at what is behind him, not only do I look at what is before him, which is uncertainty, but now I want to address what is with him. In Genesis 28 and verse number 12, listen to what the Bible says, because sometimes we just really don't have an idea of what is with us. You can be running from your past, and you can be running and dealing with an uncertain future, but you just sometimes just don't understand what and who is with you. In Genesis 28 and verse number 12, the Bible said, and he dreamed, you know, you get tired when you're running. And so he finally decided, I better rest. And when he rested, he took a pillow and then a stone for a pillow. And the Bible said, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, here it is. Behold, what is he saying? What does he say in verse number 15? Behold what? I am what? I am what? Come on, what's the operative word? I am what? I am what? I am with thee. And with what? Keep thee. In how many places? All places. Whither thou what? Goest. And watch him. And what? Will what? Bring thee again into this land. For I will what? Not what? Leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. I'll tell you what our problem is. Our problem is that we don't realize how much God is with us. How much God has promised to keep us. So many of us, we say, well, Brother Gibbs, I know I'm at the intersection of life, and I'm trying to make a decision whether I'm going to follow the narrow road pathway of spirituality, whether I'm going to follow the broad road of carnality. And I realize that this is my life, and I do with it what I want to, but I'm trying to tell you that this God that we serve is a God who is with us. And he is a God who is not only with us, but he is a God who has made promise to us. And I don't understand why we as people of God many times have difficulty making a decision. Do I want to pursue after God, or do I really want God in my life or not? To be honest about it, there is no other choice that you have. There is nobody else who can be with you like God can be with you. There is nobody else who can keep you like God can keep you. There is no one else who can make a promise to you and out of all of the circumstances, be able to control the circumstances, make the circumstances work out on your behalf. I don't know anybody else who can do that. My wife can't do it. My children can't do it. My employer can't do it. That's the elders of the church. But anyway, I'm trying to tell you, amen, y'all missed that one. But anyway. No. Our problem is that we don't understand that the angels, why is God at the top of the ladder? Why is there a ladder that reaches from earth to heaven? It didn't say from earth to heaven, but from earth to heaven. Why are the angels ascending and descending? It's all because God is trying to show you that there is a connection between those of us on earth and God. Am I too loud?
Amen, amen, amen. All I'm trying to say is that you and I need to understand that God is trying to show you that I am with you and there is access. There is access. Total access, ascending and descending. God is with us. You know, listen to what Jesus says. He says, I want you to go and teach all nations. Now, I want you to listen. The same promise that he made to Jacob, he's made that same promise to us. Well, somebody said, well, that was Jacob. No, he made the same promise to you and to me. He says, I don't want to preach too long, but now watch what the Bible said in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And he said, watch this. And what did he say? Come on. He said, what? Wait. What's the word I want? Come on, brother. What's the word? The word is what? I want love first. All right, I'm gonna get there. I understand. I'm making a play on the word low, and I understand low here doesn't mean L-O-W, but I want you to make the connection here, and that is that he said, listen, Jesus has already gone back to heaven. He stepped on the cloud and went back to heaven. Come on, church. He's at the right hand of God. But he said, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. I don't understand. It's the same promise. Am I right? What he promised Jacob, he promised you. He promised the church. He said, I'm with you. Why should a church ever think that it does not have the power of God working in its behalf? What should ever hold a church back? What should ever hold a Christian back? When that young man lost his life, the Lord was still with him. That's our hope. That's what keeps us going. That's what takes the anxiety out of life. Well, I was just diagnosed with something that I never thought. So what? God said, I'm with you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? As I close, you say I'm good? I got 15 more minutes? Well, let me at least give you this passage. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. And here's the point that I want to make. Jacob is not faithful. No, you missed that. No, you missed that. That went right over your head. Jacob is not faithful. Jacob is a liar. Jacob is a cheat. When the Lord encountered him, listen to me well. God never said to him, Jacob, you bribed your brother. If anybody didn't deserve a ladder, with God at the top, angels ascending and descending, it was Jacob. You tricked your brother. You went into a conspiracy with your mother, and you robbed him of his blessing. Now, I know some of you theologians want to go back, and I know you want to say, well, that was God's intent from the very beginning, that the younger should serve, that the older would serve the younger. I understand all of that, but it still did not take away that he lied. He cheated. Well, what's your point, preacher? My point is, we all saved by grace. I don't have to measure up. My heart doesn't have to be completely where God wants it to be for God to save me, for God to be with me. God has already taken into consideration that I'm flesh, I'm weak. I'll say I'll never leave you. I'll say I'll go with you and I'll die with you. But he knows before the cock crows, you're going to lie and say I don't even know him. God already knows that I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, Peter, and then I'm going to have to make you go down to the house of Cornelius. I understand. Now I make the promise. I've made a lot of promises. I don't look too good. Let me get back up here. That's one thing about seeing yourself. You get on back up here and hide yourself, brother. Anyway. By grace are we saved. Through faith, not of ourselves. Listen to me. It's the gift of God. Jacob is receiving a gift. So all I'm saying is, why would you not pursue after God? Why would you not make it your choice? Why wouldn't you take that pillar, sanctify it? Say, this is the house of God. Why won't you do it? Why don't you make a vow that if God be with me, and I go and I come back, if God feeds me, if God clothes me, God protects me, everything that he gives me, he said, I'll give back to him a tenth of all. I am simply saying, as I close, I know I'm going to die imperfect. No, I know that. I already know it. I promise. Put Genesis 28, 20 and 22 on the screen and then I'm through. Genesis 28, 20 and 22 through 22. Put that on the screen for me. All right. Now I want you to listen to this as I close. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's what? And all that thou shalt what? Did he say all that I earn? All that he what? I will surely what? Give what? The 10. Go back up to verse number 20. Jacob vowed a what? Now that's a promise. That's what that means. He made a promise. I'm asking all of us, just make the promise that I'm going to serve you, God, with all my heart. Just make the promise. Go ahead and make the vow. Don't talk about, well, I got a past and I don't know about this and I don't know about that. You never will. all God wants you to do is to make the what? The vow. You make the promise. If God be with me, and you know he is, keep me, you know he will. The way I go, he has. Give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, he has. Verse 21. So that I come again to my father's house in peace. 20 years later, listen to me. 20 years later, Jacob left with only a staff in his hand. But 20 years later, he comes back and meets his brother Esau. He said, God, when I left with a staff. But now I'm two companies. He got two wives, 11 sons, got oxen, sheep, cattle, donkeys. He left with nothing. Now he's coming back rich. He's coming back with peace. The one who wanted to kill him, God is now making peace. When Esau saw him, he fell on his neck and kissed him. It wasn't because of Jacob, because of God. And all I'm saying to us is that if God is that good to Jacob and that God is that good to all of us, I tell you, I know I started with nothing. I know I started with nothing. But now, I got a wife, 4 beautiful children, 9 grandchildren. I'm rich. I started with nothing, but I'm rich. And it's not because of my goodness. It's because of the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. So I don't have a difficult decision to make. I'm going to serve him with all of my heart in spite of my imperfections. If you're here this morning, you haven't made a decision, you're at the crossroad and you're trying to decide whether I'm going to either go down the narrow pathway of spirituality, whether I'm going to go down the broad way of carnality. Hadn't God given you enough to make the decision? Why don't you make the same vow? All that you give me, I promise you, God, I'll give a tenth back to you. Not just of my money, but of my time, my talents, everything. I'll put God first. You're here this morning, you come to Jesus Christ by hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ to be the Son of God, buried with him in the water grave of baptism, which is for the remission of sin. When you come up out of the water grave, you'll be in Christ. All those promises that God made to Jacob, those promises are made to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. As he said, this is none other than the house of God. He was talking about the church that you and I are now members of today. Jesus Christ was at the top of that ladder. Jesus Christ was the one who wrestled with him and blessed him and changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And he'll do the same for you. He'll change your name to a name called Christian. Will you do that? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you fully trusting in his grace? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood.
In the soul.